Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
You know who I just saw walk into the studio?
Is it Tim Hardaway?
Yep.
A lot of people, I walk through airports and they see me and they say, "Tell me what you say." And I say, "What you mean?" They say, "Tell me I got skills." So I get into that more and I'll be like, "I got skills." And they'd be like, "There it is." I love that.
So maybe Tim's going to go to the White Sox and the Cubs game tomorrow night. Lawrence kind of hooked that up during the break.
I feel like Tim should throw out the first pitch tomorrow.
Keep working. Keep working on that.
I'm working on that. They can get a Hardaway jersey printed up.
Tim Hardaway's going to show us how to shoot when the wind's up. I got skills.
Skills. Shout out to Gangstar. Let me guess. Tanny left that for you, Alex. Is that correct?
Why would you say that?
Yes, he did.
Because okay. Gangstar is one of his favorite groups of all time. And whenever he can match something up with a good Gangstar record, he does it. And this one matches perfectly because Gangstar has a song literally called Skills.
If you didn't pick up from context and you're just turning on the radio, Tanny's out today, but Alex Kuhn is running the board. And we are now in 11 personnel, the single Tyler formation. We have a single Tyler. And I feel pretty good about our chances. We can still run a lot of stuff this afternoon in 11.
Well, there's been a lot of growth with Tyler Farengold too. So like,
especially with the hair on the chin.
Absolutely. So now we can ask him to do a little bit more stuff. It wasn't like before when we were absolutely asking him to fail, like Caleb. And he is now grown.
Yeah.
Well, because of that failure.
Sure, and I can see now with the beard, with the Amish chin strap he's got going, I guess there's a little bit of a mustache.
I'm actually shaving it this week.
Oh,
is there any particular reason why?
Because it looks Amish.
Just a little bit.
You're not feeling it? Okay.
I'm lazy.
That's fair.
He's like Nick Kurtz. I had to pause there to make sure. But
yes.
The big Amish.
I did not hit 4 home runs though the other night.
Dude, he could hit 5.
That was really close.
He had a double off the top of the wall.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Bubba Wallace.
How about it?
That's why I got the hat on today.
I know. I am NASCAR literate to a point. And the fact that Jordan has been handed a couple of trophies over the last few weeks, pretty cool. That ends our NASCAR conversation.
Big win.
Show.
Big win for Bubba. Congrats to him.
Huge win for Bubba.
We're all going to hear it on Tyler Farengold's NASCAR podcast, Left Turns Only. That's coming up soon.
I think the score should have him doing a... Well, it kind of depends now because it doesn't look like NASCAR is coming back to the city. Uh-huh. But if it does... And all right, we'll continue the NASCAR
anyway,
talk just real quick.
Oh, no!
Just real quick.
No, we're good!
My solution
is... My fault.
It shouldn't be every year. It should be every other year. That's what I would do if I were the city in NASCAR. The street race should be
come back 2027, maybe 2028.
That's what I'm talking
every
about.
Every other year.
That concludes our NASCAR conversation. Whew,
man, I'm glad I was here for all of it. So Tim Hardaway in studio on Friday, and Lawrence says, I should reach out over there. Tim said he'd like to go to the game. I can report, as I got the chance to work at Cubs Sox yesterday, so I'm walking the bowels of the stadium, went to both clubhouses, and in between the two clubhouses, I saw Brooks Boyer there, and I said, "Brooks, what's up?" And I said, "Hey, man, Hardaway was here last night." He said, "Yeah, your partner texted me." I said, "I know." And then he told me how it went down. For those who don't know, Tim Hardaway threw out the first pitch on Saturday for the White Sox and Cubs game. And he was there in a Hardaway jersey, as you said. And Brooks said, once you reached out and you connected him with one of his people that was here.
Mm-hmm. Christy.
Brooks and him texted and he said, "How many people would you like to have come? I've got some tickets set aside." And Tim Hardaway said, 11. And Brooks said, "Oh, okay."
That's a lot of tickets.
It's a lot. And I think I could share this. He said he had some front row seats he was saving. And those ended up getting scooped up late because Chris Chelios had reached out.
Of course. So he's another guy that should have been at that game.
Right, exactly. So Chelios reached out and the White Sox took care of that. And then the White Sox realized they had an extra luxury suite available. And Tim Hardaway and Christy and his partner from the support group,
Benny,
who was here, and a total of 11 people got to watch Cubs Sox in a suite at Rate Field on Saturday night because you reached out. I love that.
I'm glad that it worked out. The White Sox, we've been teaming up in a lot of ways over the last week, and it's been great. And I can officially announce this now that Danny knows. They made a donation to the Radiothon, the White Sox did. So they're going to give away a VIP experience for four White Sox fans, including on the field stuff. We're going to auction that off during the Radiothon.
Just tremendous.
On Thursday. And probably it'll be connected because I believe Toby Hall is going to be on. And Bobby Jenks was supposed to be on the Radiothon. So it's been, even though the team has been one thing, the people who are a part of that team mean a lot to me. And being connected with those people and having those people connected to the score, even though we are not the flagship, I think is really important because we're the score. So being able to help in that regard and have good feelings going both ways with the White Sox is important to me. And I know it's important to you too.
Absolutely.
It's important for us as a show. So I'm glad that we have a couple of wins that we can share in with them being a part of the Radiothon. And I was like, look, it's the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. It's like, I'm not trying to snow you like this. And they were like, we're just happy to help.
Yeah. And happy to help. And then, And it just sets up, look, interleague play is palatable, in my opinion, because of weekends like this. Because of weekends like this and Mets, Yankees, and frankly, just a few others. But like Cubs Sox was awesome all weekend long. The vibes around the ballpark were electric. You could feel it on the broadcast. And getting to be a part of it yesterday was just a thrill, man. And like seeing people, you know, from the Sox, obviously, Darren Jackson comes down to our radio booth from their radio booth before the game. Spigs, big hug from DJ. And DJ played with Ron Coomer. They were teammates. And so, like, the vibes between DJ and Coom are elite. They loved each other as teammates and were giving each other crap on the air and off about a couple years later when Coomer had a grand slam stolen by Darren Jackson in the outfield when they were playing against each other, you know? Stuff like that. At one point, Chris Hubbell, who's the sound man on the South Side and the guy from Triple Threat Sports, played, as he often does, a bit of Sonic 45 over the PA system before the game. You got Len Casper in one booth, who's playing bass on that album, and me in another booth, who's singing on that album. I mean, it's crazy to have that kind of connectivity going on. So
hold please, Speaks.
Yeah, just tremendous vibes for Cubs and for White Sox and everybody yesterday.
There might be some more tremendous vibes for the Cubs. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is from John Heyman. Cubs baseball president Jed Hoyer and the team agree on a multi-year extension.
Wow. That's very interesting timing. Very interesting timing. Good for Jed.
Why do you say it's interesting timing?
Because the deadline is forcing all sorts of activity and all sorts of decisions. You see, Seth Lugo got an extension by the Royals, who decided to not part with him because conversations take place because they have to at this point. If Jed Hoyer is making decisions that could destroy the farm system in a go-for-it year that is his final year, maybe you want him to think more holistically.
Right. Think about the fact that you're going to be the steward of this thing for a while and not just we're throwing a raging kegger to finish your tenure as Cubs president of baseball operations.
His mentor, Theo Epstein, left before he had to facilitate the trades that he knew were going to have to be made.
He sure did.
So he left, and then Jed made the decisions that affected his tenure. So Jed now, this week, is going to make decisions that affect his own tenure. That's significant to me. That's why the timing jumps out to me.
There's a part of me that wonders, though, if you're a Cub fan, do you kind of want lame duck Jed to go out there and be like, I don't care. It's not my problem. We're going to spend.
It's a good question. Because I think the decisions that are being made this week for a lot of franchises are based on, do you want to go for it and win the World Series right now or not? You know, do you want to extend your time horizon? When you're on your deathbed, are you going to say, boy, I gave our organization a chance to win for a period of 7 to 9 years?
I created stability.
Or are you going to say, 1 year I won the World Series? And which one is preferable as legacy?
Maybe you get both. Maybe it's like the old El Paso commercial. Why not both? Maybe that's where we're at with this, where he's like, now I've got full space command. They trust me so much that they gave me this extension. We're doing this. We're doing this because we're the best team in the National League. We have as good a chance as anybody to win this year's World Series, and we're not going to take that lightly.
Well, the decision that we're talking about and that legacy and how you feel about it is often at the ownership level and not the front office level, right? It's often the owner deciding, do I want to just be to have stability, or do I want to go for it hard and then figure out another way to go for it next time I'm in this position? That kind of thing. But whether they can do both, see, I think when they look at it, when front office guys look at it, and especially if they quantify it, they're saying all we can do is get in and give ourselves a chance. And so that's multiple years of getting in and giving yourself a chance. And I think that is the better decision when you zoom out and you think about it like a spreadsheet. But should a year be thought about like a spreadsheet? You know what I mean? It's a tricky spot. It's fascinating. Look, congrats to Jed Hoyer.
Very much so.
Who has done a really, really good job of getting this team to this spot right now this season. Okay? But now whether this extension emboldens him to be more aggressive or not is going to be fascinating to watch between here and the deadline.
Look at Dave Grohl winning his Grammy. Look at him. Look at him. I made the mention to Jed that he was the Dave Grohl of Nirvana, like that of Cubs baseball.
That once Theo left, Kurt was gone.
And so you got to figure out what you're going to do. And like, so I also mentioned that.
Some good Foo Fighters records, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The first reference I made to him is that he was Big Boy of Outkast, but he didn't quite get that reference. So I was like, you're Dave Grohl. And he's like, oh, I get that one.
Yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense to me.
And he was down with it.
Yeah. And I hope that he went and was like, wait, what's this Outkast that he speaks of? I like some of their songs.
Man, he probably will. And Hey Ya,
right,
is like right there for you, yeah, in terms of that kismet.
But yes, he is the Dave Grohl of Cubs baseball, so, and I'm happy for him.
So very, very interesting how that plays out. And I think it's a nice opportunity to think about the full context of the Cubs window as you think about this extension for Jed Hoyer.
I still want them to be aggressive, and I hope that I want Jed to be emboldened to be aggressive with this extension that he's signing,
rather than be bought to be cautious.
Yes. Yes, you nailed it. That's it. I don't want him to be like, well, you know, they're paying me to make sure that this thing can keep rolling for a while. No, like this is a great chance. And to speak of his predecessor, who would always say, every season where you can win the World Series is precious. I don't know if the Cubs are going to win the World Series, but as it stands right now, I'm not convinced that there are too many teams that are better than them.
I think we're hitting on what makes this particular deadline so fascinating for them. Is like all of, and frankly, it's storylines of the last several years all kind of consolidating here in this moment. Because I can understand caution. I could understand it. Like if they come out of this with a high leverage reliever who they add to the mix, a utility player to fill out the bench, and they can move on from Vidal Brujan, right? And somebody who can spot Matt Shaw a little bit, and a rental starter like Adrian Hauser or Merrill Kelly. If they come out of it with all of that, with Tyone and Assad possibly coming back, with the move of Colin Ray back to the bullpen probably, with Steele coming back next year, etc., as long as Boyd and Shota stay healthy and you get to the playoffs, you could see all of that and be like, I get it. I get it. And they didn't mortgage Owen Casey when you don't know for sure that Kyle Tucker is not going to sign, right? Well, so all those things, caution could make sense, but I'm afraid that people are going to see caution as the latter of the two scenarios we just talked about.
I mean, now that we're a few minutes into talking about this, if you're just joining us, thank you so much for checking out the Spiegel and Holmes show. Jed Hoyer has signed a multi-year extension to stay president of baseball operations with the Cubs. I wonder, too, like, if he has offered up a plan about Tucker. And I wonder if Tom is on board with, hey, this is how we feel about the player. And I'm not sure which way they feel. You know, like they could say, we love the player, but we don't love the player for $600 million. And we feel like we might be able to recreate someone like Kyle Tucker or whatever. I don't know how they feel. And maybe that plays a role, too, in Tom hearing something that he likes and saying, yeah, you're our guy, you're our front person on getting this done or not getting this done, and being like, hey, here's my strategy for re-signing Pete to an extension to get him under a salary-controlled situation so we continue to build on what it is that we're doing.
All right, I love that thought process. Let's the good side of that thought process, from my perspective, is that they've gone to Kyle Tucker and said, Kyle, we need to know. We need to know if we got a shot to sign you, because it looks like we might have to give up Owen Casey to get a real good starting pitcher in here. And we want to do it to give us a best chance to win a World Series right now. But if we do it and we're going to lose you, we're in a bad spot. Would you sign an extension for this? And Kyle says, yeah, I would. And then Jed's got to go to Tom and say, hey, Tom, you got to green light this so I can know what I'm doing.
Right.
And Tom says, but if you do this, then what the hell is the expenditures? What are we going to do? How are we going to field a team? How am I going to make some money? And Jed says, I know how you can. I got it. I can do it. I promise you. Maybe we don't pay Pete for a while. Maybe you bleed.
You go to arbitration with him just beating the hell out of you in arbitration.
Yep. Yeah. You do what you did with Bryant to Pete. You know, and you just kind of maximize that as best you can, and you don't do that. Or it's the inverse, right? But in that scenario, I could see Jed and Tom needing to have certainty about each other in order to execute the plan, which does come up right here at the deadline.
And it might be an asset. It could be an asset where if Tom is at some point talked to Kyle Tucker, and I don't know how involved Tom would even get on something like this, but if he's like, you know, I really like it here and I really like Jed. Like, those are all things that you have to keep in mind if you're going to make a big expenditure like that to try to even get into the bidding on a player like this. But we don't know. I think this is overall a good thing for the Cubs, and I'm glad for Jed, quite honestly. This has worked out to his advantage. I love to see people succeed when the rabbit has the gun. The rabbit had the gun because this team is a first-place team and has a chance to be in the World Series this year.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him that it timed up like this.
I feel like we should keep discussing this and fold in some of the Cubs and Sox stuff from over the weekend.
If you'd like to call us and be a part of this conversation, whether it's Jed Hoyer or talk Cubs and Sox this weekend, 312-644-6767 is the number. You can hit us up via text as well, or if you're in the mob, someone made a really, really shorten the word analogy, and it did not turn out well for them inside of the Twitch mob.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I appreciate it. They said I made a good analogy about Dave Grohl, but they shortened the word.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
I don't think it worked out for any of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to say, oftentimes that particular word that act, it doesn't work out like you think.
Nope. It truly doesn't.
And by the way, but what's fascinating about this is definitely a precursor to some more stuff in a big way in the next few days. You know,
well, hold on to that. I want to find out why.
In either direction.
I want to find out why. So let's talk about that, and let's talk with you. 312-644-6767. Jed Hoyer's got new paper. We're discussing on Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're going to do that show this year, yes. The Spiegel guy.
Spiegel guy.
Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Afternoons on The Score.
I've had times when I was, you know, 6 months past my contract in my career. I've had been in the last year a bunch of times, so it can't affect it. I mean, I just say the same thing over and over, which is, you know, I'm employed by the Ricketts to you know, sign players and build a team as best I can. Sometimes that's thinking about the future entirely. We've done it at times. Sometimes that's blending them. Sometimes that's really saying, okay, now is the right time. And really, that's what is going to determine that the actions we make is like, what is the right thing for this team, for this organization?
I love the bump back here. This is not Tanny. This is Alex pulling out the Baby I Got Your Money by ODB and Kalis. Let's go.
See? He knows. He can speak. He can hang.
Because Jed's got the money now.
He really did. And it's interesting. Maybe some people think it's as simple as this team and this person like each other. They like working with each other, and things are going well right now. And you know, maybe is it just that simple? I think it's more involved than that, because I think it informs the conversation about all things here at the deadline. But you yourself have said it, Lawrence, when you were out there on the Friday a couple weeks ago, how comfortable he looked.
So comfortable. Jeb was looking good, man. He had fresh fade going on. Had the good polo going.
Shirts fit tight.
Yeah, he's been working out. Kid's been in the gym.
Feels good about that.
You know, he's out there just like, yeah, everything's great. We're first place.
Team's playing well. I mean, I know Cam Smith looks like he might be real good in Houston for no money. But Hayden Wesneski's out for the year. Paredes has been
He's been all right. Yeah.
Then he was hurt for a while. Kyle Tucker's killing it. Like, that's a really good baseball trade. That's the way a baseball trade is supposed to work. It might look better for the Astros in years to come if Kyle Tucker doesn't sign and Cam Smith is still there.
But if you win the World Series because you have Kyle Tucker, then it doesn't matter.
Correct.
If you make the World Series because you have Kyle Tucker, it probably doesn't matter.
I say correct to that as well.
If you would like to talk with us about the Cubs, you are more than welcome to do so. 312-644-6767 is the number. This I have a note from Baby T that says maybe I shouldn't go to this call. All right, we're going to take the risk. This is not on you. This is my decision. So it's on me. Hi, Larry in Oklahoma. What's on your mind?
What do you say, Larry?
Well, I appreciate your confidence in taking my call. I do like the idea of Jed Hoyer being extended, because honestly, this is the best of both worlds for Jed, because he's got the team with the best record in the NL, plus a great farm system, which that's a hard combination to put together. I appreciate you mentioned Cam Smith doing well, but actually Matt Shaw, I think, will long-term be a better player. So I think actually the Cubs kept the right one there. Kudos to Jed for signing Matthew Boyd on a reasonable contract.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he's dodged a lot of bullets in terms of potential free agents.
I thought that was a pretty solid phone call.
Yeah.
Way to go, baby T.
I'm glad we took it. And we like taking calls. Calls have been the lifeblood of this radio station for more than 30 years. So feel free at 312-644-6767. I don't know if Matt Shaw is going to be a better player than Cam Smith, but I'll say that Matt Shaw looks really good after some fundamental adjustments at the break. He's standing taller. The bat is flatter. He's opened his stance a little bit more now. And you know what he's doing, Lawrence? He's pulling balls in the air instead of just driving everything to right center. And we know he can drive things to right center,
which is one of his strengths. But, like, as a batter, like a profile, that's a great thing to have.
Agreed, but he's been getting busted inside and not doing much with it, like getting caught trying to inside out it or whatever. Now he's homering. And he's on a 9-game hitting streak, and that big double yesterday that turned into him getting to third after Chase Mydraw threw it away was a big, big hit in that game to put the Cubs up 4-1. So Matt Shaw turning into a guy who can turn on inside stuff for power at the big league level would be a massive, massive development.
I have a texter here. I'm like, because sometimes, guys, I love the Cubs, but they are not going to make it to the World Series, and Kyle Tucker isn't that great. At least he hasn't shown it most of this year. He's pretty average and slightly above average is all.
Yeah,
that is incorrect.
That's incorrect. And there's also a bunch of texts about how trade Casey, even if you lose Tucker, you could get Schwarber for the same thing. Or you could put Seiya in right field. Neither of those people are right fielders, not even remotely. Seiya cannot be an everyday right fielder. And Kyle Schwarber is not a right fielder. But if you got Schwarber, which would be a fun thing to think about as a free agent, you're going to move Happ over to right? I don't think Ian Happ has the arm to be a right fielder, necessarily. And so, no, I think they'd have to go get a right fielder in free agency if they don't have either Tucker or Casey. But, I mean, you don't know for sure about Casey, but, like, just understand, defense matters, and it matters to them, and it should matter to you.
He's a 4.3 B-War player. He'll end up in the top 10 of votes for MVP this year.
Kyle Tucker.
He's way above average.
Left-handed
average.
Slug is a big deal. The fact that he walks more than he strikes out.
Yeah.
Is an unbelievable
He's
and
getting
rare
on base 38%
thing.
Of the time.
Yeah.
He's not average.
No.
He's not close to average.
He's a top 10 offensive player.
His OPS plus is 151,
yeah,
which is way better than average. I'm glad that we cleared that up, Speaks.
Yep.
It's very important.
It's good work.
Every now and again, you got to clear that up.
So I think what's going to happen the next few days is going to be interesting, and we'll be informed by this about the two possibilities that we brought up. Is Jed now emboldened to be aggressive, or is he more secure and safe and willing to be cautious because it's his own time horizon that he's extending by having stability? I think every move from between now and the deadline is going to be looked at that with that added focus.
What a day this could end up being, though. Like, you get the extension to Jed and maybe you make a big trade.
Or maybe you make a big announcement about Tucker. Can you imagine?
That, I think, is still unlikely. But here's hoping. Michael's in Downers Grove. Hey, Michael, you're on the Score.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Michael.
Listen to you religiously. Love your commentary every day. My view is they've done the right thing. And when I look at it overall, right, we're going to go make trades because we need pitchers. We need pitchers, and we're going to add ones that are coming off of the injured list. We're going to add Kion, we're going to add Assad, and we're going to add another pitcher. And we might add a position player because we think we need to do that with Shaw, but Shaw's actually picking it up. I mean, the reality is the guy has, Jed Hoyer's put us in position where he's got tons of levers to pull as it relates to getting us to the playoffs in the World Series. I don't know how much more we want. He's done a great job in my opinion.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for the call. Clearly, Tom Ricketts is happy, and he said so in this statement that is just released by the Cubs. Quote, Jed and his baseball operations staff have built a healthy player development organization and put an exciting playoff contending team on the field. We are looking forward to the rest of the season and to working with Jed for years to come. And Jed Hoyer said, quote, I'm so grateful for the Ricketts family's trust and support for 14 years. The Cubs are a special organization with an amazing fan base. I'm excited to keep building the momentum we have and to work with a terrific baseball operations staff to consistently deliver a championship caliber team for this great city.
Now, end quote. Theo's whole thing is 10 years and you should leave.
And Jed's whole thing is, let's
I'm
work
trying to
here.
Get paid. But, I mean, he hasn't been in charge for 10 years. And maybe if he were in, maybe at the end of this extension, he does walk away. But, you know, you spent the first 5 years ducking, like sitting there at press conferences because no one wanted to talk to you. And now you're the guy. So
he was the potted plant.
Yeah.
He was the potted plant. Now Carter's potted plant.
That's right. Now that's Carter's job. And Jed has made it very clear that that is Carter's job.
Oh, man.
So... So being,
that take in your perspective sounds like he's a guy who's just trying to make consistent, high quality teams to make every season like this season with a chance to win.
Well, I
guess that's a pretty good thing.
I think
that's a pretty good thing to do.
One, it's a good thing to do. Two, I do think that there is a bit of a freedom in the moment after you sign a contract extension where you can do some things. And like, this is why you paid me. Like, you have that opportunity if you're Jed to be like, if I go by what you said in your statement, this is the reason that you paid me so that I could make these choices like this.
It
was like you after that first book that we had. You were like,
hey, man.
You were like, hey, some things are going to change around here.
I am not the one who went out and bought a Blackmobile. Okay, that's not me, sir.
It's here today.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Can I get a lift home?
Maybe? Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence has been teasing me with an opportunity to ride in the Blackmobile as it emerges from the Black Cave downstairs here at work as billionaire Lawrence Holmes.
Not a billionaire.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's so sad about that tragedy that happened, but you have devoted your life since then to fighting crime and getting yourself the finest black accessories that a man can get.
I've been trying. Worked out pretty well.
I can't wait to get a ride.
I decided to make the transition today, Speaks. Like,
you did.
I was like, because the other car still exists. And I was like, you know what? I think for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, you should.
It's going to be the Blackmobile.
It's time.
Because once it gets a little icy, that car's not going to be the bright choice.
I have a question. Have you ever had, will I be the first Jew in the Blackmobile? We could do a little chess records thing, you and me.
No, I mean, no, yeah, you will be. I haven't invited Dan out to dinner yet, so yes.
Oh, that's lovely.
So yes, you will be the first Jewish friend in the Blackmobile.
In the Blackmobile, that's exciting. bringing cultures together.
With a car.
On the way home.
Yeah, you just want to ride.
I do. I do indeed.
This is a chance the rapper would say, you just want to ride. All right, let's go to West Side Johnny.
Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. You're on the
hey,
score.
Guys, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
We're
good.
How you doing?
We're good.
So I'm in favor of the extension. I like Jed Hoyer, but he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that just wants to get his money. To me, and I want to hear your comments on this, to me it speaks to how he likes the direction the Ricketts family is going to allow him to take with the team. What do you guys think of that?
I think that is a an optimistic take on how he feels, and it may very well be correct. And I don't know that. Look, I don't know that we can judge all of that from the next few days. We're going to.
Yeah.
Right?
We're going to put stuff on this that doesn't necessarily supposed to be there.
But the thing is, like, every year they do spend at least to a point that gives them a shot. You know? And Jed is trying to do his part by giving them the best asset you can have, which is talent that is thought of well and not paid well in the minor leagues. Those kind of assets. Jed is, and he's trying, and they seem to have taken a step forward as a player development staff. Daniel Palencia is a closer born of a throw-in for Andrew Chafin. I mean, that's a rental trade for Andrew Chafin.
And now he's your closer.
He's your closer. So, I mean, that's...
You know what's crazy?
That's a great success in development.
We haven't thought about Ryan Pressly in weeks. In weeks?
Yeah, he's
been fine.
He's been fine. We gave up a solo homer the other night. 6-0 game turned into a 6-1 game on Saturday night. But that he was used there. Ryan Brazier is more in the circle of trust than Ryan Pressly.
Yeah, he's been... Did he open a game? I feel like he opened one of the Cade Horton games.
He got used yesterday in a big spot. Now, Pressly had gone the night before, but it'll be interesting to see what Presley's usage becomes on a real stacked postseason bullpen. Like, if they go out and get Griffin Jacks from Minnesota, or they go out and they get some other righty who's a trusted high-leverage guy, but he's not the closer. Like, it's Palencia and it's Keller, and it's whoever the new guy is, and it's Brazier, all before you get to Pressly, in my opinion.
But let me give you the option here, Speaks. Right. Both of the opportunities for us in our next segment are baseball. Yeah. I wanted to give you the choice, though.
Okay.
Do we talk about who the new Javi is? Do we talk about Bryce Harper? Do we talk about the Hall of Fame conversation, or do we keep talking about this?
Nah, I love your new Javi. I love your new Javi angle, and I think it needs to be discussed.
All right. There's a new Javi on the Cubs.
It's PCA. That's what you mean.
No.
Oh.
Someone else is the new Javi. We need to discuss that, and we will next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are great.
You're right. Thanks, Chris.
We'll send him the book. That is Chris Ronji.
Afternoons on The Score.
Now the pitch. Mydroth pops it up. Sky high pop up right side of the infield. Horner on the grass, and it drops. He'll throw to third, and they've got Sosa.
Infield fly, right? And that's a double play. Great job by Nico.
He waited for the infield fly call to be announced and then let it drop. That's a beautiful play by the Cubs. Heads-up play by Nico, and that ends the third.
Lawrence, my favorite part, I think, about being up in the broadcast booth is that you get to go wherever your eyes decide to go to see everybody involved. I don't think they had it on the TV broadcast, but Nico Horner's swagger walking off the field.
Oh, he was so pleased with himself.
He, after pulling that off, it reminded me of Conor McGregor after a defeat in the UFC. It wasn't quite that much, but it was just like...
Slide later on, though.
The head first slide? When he opened the mouth with
Nico
the tongue?
Nico was feeling it yesterday.
In every facet.
And I said in the group thread, like, oh, he's new Javi. And I love it. I love the idea of... Because, you know, Nico's like super serious. But the fact that he... Because he understands the game, and he played it out, and the White Sox fell for the banana in the tailpipe because you don't have to run. you could just stay there and just take the one out at first base.
Do you think they scouted Lenin Sosa as a base runner?
It sure feels like they did.
Because he's been bad at a lot of different times.
They were picking on him in the game.
Nico said afterwards he was thinking maybe the runner on first would run, and then he could just like reach over and tag him. But then Dansby was screaming, three, three! And so he turned around and saw that. But either way, I love your take on Nico as an activator. Smart as hell in the baseball instincts and plays and just like agitating and leaning on the game a little bit.
I love it just because, and I think the people who listen to our show have gotten to really know Nico and the stuff that you guys did with Nico last year. You get to really know him and you go, I love that guy. Like that's been... like 100% Q rating. Like everyone who listens, you don't have to be a Cub fan to be like, man, Nico guy seems pretty cool. And then you see him play it out because you know that he's like that. You know that he's a guy that is trying to maximize everything because some of the physical things aren't there, like from a power standpoint, but from a speed and execution and baseball IQ standpoint. That was some Javi Baez bleep.
He's
yesterday.
He's maximizing his skill set, isn't he? I mean, it's he had a 15 pitch at bat that culminated in an infield hit.
I think that he saw because Alex Cohen was talking about it on the broadcast yesterday
because he had a 9-pitch walk later in the game.
I think he saw 37 pitches or something stupid yesterday in the game.
I mean, which is not necessarily the way he usually does it.
But either. He was just fouling off like,
everything.
And just kind of like, I can't hit this, but I'm going to put this into the net over there.
He aggressively kept the rundown alive, which enabled Hap to break towards home in a play that the White Sox blew up that we'll talk about later.
Yeah, and you know, I wish that more teams would scout that the Cubs do that. The Cubs do the, oh, look at that, I'm just wandering off of first base. Uh-huh. Oh, so what am I doing out here? You should probably throw the ball over here.
Yeah.
And there goes the guy from third.
Yeah, they do it every time.
They do it a lot.
And most teams just let him take that stolen base, which is great. Get another guy in scoring position, et cetera. But with two outs, anyway, that thing went crazy. But yeah, I thought Nico's impact was all over that game yesterday in every facet.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to see him have some fun with it and enjoy it and... I'm happy for him because he's not tortured. There are times when I'm watching Ian Happ, I'm like, man, Ian's tortured. Like he loves playing baseball, but he's also tortured when he's out there.
Yeah.
And I know Nico's got some of that in him, but he in a year where it could have overwhelmed him because he wasn't producing from a power standpoint the way that he would like to. The fact that he has found the joy and the absurdity in the place that he's found it inside the game and has figured out, as you said, like how to maximize what it is that he is as a player.
Yeah.
I find that incredibly compelling.
Agreed. That's why I was thinking that this could be the way that he makes an all-star team. He keeps playing like this and being this guy, he will eventually make one.
All right, let's go back to the phones and talk with Dave from Roseland. Hey, Dave, you're on the score.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I am happy with the Jed extension. However, I think his choice for the bench has actually made them weaker than last year compared to Wisdom, Talkman, Mastroboni. You know, perfectly fine. This year you have two gentlemen that just do the same thing, speed, you know, master of one. And then Justin Turner, who is essentially Patrick Wisdom's dad. It's like, move out of the way, let me chop the wood, son, you know, but he does everything just a little bit worse than Patrick.
That's really funny.
That's really funny. I'll go ahead and chop that wood, son. You get out there and just swing the bat. Look, Justin Turner has brought a ton of abstract value, which is still value in terms of what he's been in the clubhouse and what he's been for a lot of people, I think John Birdie is a really good bottom of the roster player in MLB. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, but there's one guy that you do not want to see on this roster anymore.
Vidal Bruján has no use on a big league contending roster, on a good team's roster. He does not. So I think that'll get rectified here at the deadline. He's done a better job with the starters than he did last year, and that makes a big difference. And Mastroboni, although he's a fine bench piece for Seattle this year, was not really a fine bench piece for the Cubs. Talkman, I'll give you. I think Mike Talkman somebody's gonna pick up Mike Talkman.
I would. And if you're trying to
so
win.
So would I. The Pounder had two homers over the weekend.
Yeah, he was loving every minute of that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
He was enjoying himself out there.
I went and looked for him in the Sox clubhouse yesterday. Wanted to talk to him, maybe put him on the pregame show, or at least say hello. But I could not find him yesterday. But, yeah, you know, look, this has been an interesting hour of conversation. The timing of the Jed Hoyer extension here just a few days before the deadline is notable, and how that will impact the aggressiveness or cautiousness of the next few days is also notable, because trade deadline rumors are swirling. And, oh, by the way, the Hall of Fame decided to do their thing yesterday against a full Sunday slate.
Yeah.
Makes me crazy, man.
At some point this week, we don't have a lot of shows, but can we talk about Dick Allen?
I would love to. I would absolutely love to.
And Ichiro.
And Ichiro. Ichiro's speech.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Tom Hamilton's speech from Saturday was beautiful. Those are the two that I went back and made sure to listen to, no matter how busy I am, or how busy the season is, or whatever. I got to go back, and I need to watch the Dick Allen portion. I'll do so before you and I can talk about it.
We need to take a break. We need to find out what's going on the trade market, and our buddy John Morosi is going to help us in that regard, and he'll let us know about this Emmanuel Clase thing that's going on too. So we're gonna get the latest MLB news, including his thoughts on Jed getting an extension. It's next here on The Score.